Hey everybody, if you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace? Hey, and welcome to the Short Stuff. I'm Josh and there's Chuck and Jerry's here. And this is Short Stuff, a great one because it has to do with ecology, environment, biology, drama, matchbooks.
That's right. I came across this because I was on HowStuffWorks.com because I was putting something together that we're not doing now, but I hope to do soon on symbiosis.
Oh, yeah.
And this is not symbiosis. So it was mentioned as kind of not the opposite of symbiosis, but no. Something that's, you know, runs afoul of symbiosis.
It's symbiosis's more confusing cousin.
Right. I think. More selfish cousin.
It's very difficult to pin down in some weird ways, but we're talking commensalism. Mm-hmm. And the base definition of commensalism is that it happens when an animal benefits another animal or organism just by doing its own thing. And it's not affected by it one way or the other. The other animal, like, benefits from it. But there's no like, tit for tat. There's no harm in it. It's just kind of a thing.
Yeah, it's a kind of cooperation. A couple of things that it's not that we should probably mention, besides symbiosis, is it doesn't mean you're a parasite. Parasitism is when something is actually causing harm to another thing.
Right.
By sort of sponging off of them.
Like the movie, Parasite.
That's right. Or a parasite that lives on your body and feeds on the host. And the host may not be aware of it, but it's damaging the host.
Like the movie, Alien.
Right. That's right. It's also not mutualism, in which that's a little more aligned with symbiosis, in which both partners are benefiting from this relationship, like bees and flowers. They each get a little something, they're scratching each other's backs, and it's all good.
Like the movie, Wall Street.
That's right. Oh, man, we should just make this the whole episode. commensalism, though, is, like you said, and they're actually called commensals, which is the one that is
benefiting,
not the one that is unawares and just sort of neither benefiting nor being harmed.
And benefiting is kind of one way to put it. You could also say that commensal also requires the other animal to go about their daily business for that one to survive sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's give a great example here that is found in this HowStuffWorks article about eastern screech owls and blind snakes, Chuck.
Yeah, this is interesting, I thought.
I thought so, too. So eastern screech owls love to eat blind snakes. It's their favorite delicacy. It's like foie gras, sushi, and tikka masala to the average American. Love it, right?
Okay.
And so the eastern screech owl brings a bunch of blind snakes back to its nest to feed their chicks, which is usually bad for the blind snakes. But some blind snakes get away. And they actually burrow into the nest, deeper into the nest, out of the reach of the owls, and they live there. And while they live there, they actually feed on little bugs in the nest.
That's right. Those little larvae, and those larvae would probably be parasites upon the owl.
Right.
So there's a lot of benefit going on here.
Right, but in particular, the blind snake is providing the benefit to the blind owl because studies have shown that I guess hatchlings, eastern screech owl hatchlings, that are raised in nests where there's blind snakes embedded in them, typically grow bigger, faster, stronger, etc., and they have a lower mortality rate than hatchlings that are raised in nests where there's not blind snakes. So it does seem like the benefit they're providing is getting rid of the parasite load in that nest. But as far as the blind snake's concerned, it's just eating. It's doing its normal thing.
What's a blind snake?
It's a snake that is blind, as far as I know.
I looked him up, and it is a specific thing. It's not just like any snake that's blind, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I had never really heard of them before.
I had neither. What's an owl?
I have no idea.
I told you about the owl cafe that Yumi and I went to in Tokyo, right?
I don't think so.
It was very neat.
I would have remembered this.
It was so neat.
Are you in there with owls?
Yes. Like, they're right there. You can hold them on your hand. You can pet them. And I realized that it's not their natural habitat.
Sure.
And like, they're kept and all that.
Yeah.
But it was very cool.
Right.
And they were very well taken care of as far as captive animals go. But it was a really neat experience.
Yeah, it's okay to think that's a neat experience.
Are you sure? I'm so nervous right now.
I think so. I mean, I'm going. We're finally going to Disney World in a couple of weeks, and we're staying at Animal Kingdom. And I really want to wake up with a giraffe standing outside my window.
Yeah, going, wake up, Chuck.
Does that make me a bad person?
Yeah,
for wanting to delight myself, frankly.
Are you going to go on the Avatar ride? It's supposedly the greatest ride humans have ever created.
We're not actually going to Animal Kingdom. We're just staying there. We have 3 park days, so we're doing...
Okay, and that's not one of them.
No, we're doing Magic Kingdom, Hollywood mm-hmm. Studios, and then Universal.
I'll tell you what. Your daughter is going to love Hollywood Studios Toy Story Land. It is nuts how well they did that.
Yeah, I don't think we're prepared for the delight that is to follow.
It's great, yeah.
Yeah, and big shout out to our buddy Brandon.
Yes.
Might as well, who's helping us out. He works down there, and he's just very kind and generous, especially if you don't know how to navigate Disney, with all the tips and stuff.
Yeah, he's just a wonderful guy.
That's good stuff.
Who started out as a fan who reached out and quickly became a true friend.
That's
you know?
Right. All right. So, hey, we needed a little padding. So we'll come back right after this and talk a little bit more about commensalism.
Thanks for the padding, Brandon. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on. Hey friends, as every parent knows, kids seem to be everywhere all at once, and it's really tough for even the most watchful moms and dads to protect their little ones from every single thing.
Yeah, Duracell understands this, and that's why they're deeply committed to lithium coin battery safety. Lithium coin batteries power a bunch of important things around people's homes, including things young children may have access to. So Duracell not only educates parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of lithium coin battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them.
Even Duracell's packaging is child secure and designed to avoid accidental opening, because they believe their products should provide more than just power. They should also provide peace of mind. You can learn more at Duracell.com/power safely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Just like the number of stars in the sky, there is so much stuff you should know.
All right, Chuck, so this article basically practically admits that ecologists don't really know how to define commensalism, but they're like, but we still have it separated into 3 categories.
That's right. The first of which is inquilinism. Mm-hmm. Sounds totally made up. That is when a species lives on or inside another. can be in that nest, like the blind snake living in the nest of the owl. Anytime it's within there's another example they give of the gopher tortoise.
Yes.
Southeastern U.S., they have these really long tunnels, like, you know, sometimes 30 to 50 feet in length. And that, of course, becomes a home for lots of different things, mainly insects. But some of them have, like, evolved over the years to need to live there. And some of them, including this one moth, can only feed on the keratin of the shells of these dead gophers.
Yep.
That's all they eat.
That's niche right there.
That's super niche.
And so it's not just that moth. There's a bunch of others. There's a bunch of other kinds of animals, too. But, yeah, that moth is about as big a commensal as you'll find in nature. There's another type of commensalism called metabiosis, which sounds kind of similar, but it's where an organism unintentionally creates a habitat for another. This is really where we get to the point where I'm saying, like, commensalism, they don't know what they're talking about. Somebody figured out something that didn't hold out to be true, mm-hmm. and they ended up creating a whole subdiscipline of ecology out of it.
Oh, is that where you are on this?
Yes, because there is no example that we have gone over or will go over that you can't ascribe to something else. Symbiosis, parasitism.
Oh, like, yeah, we used to call it this.
Yes, and now it's commensalism. It's a very confusing thing that we're doing right now.
Yeah, but isn't that kind of a lot of science, is the more you know, the more you can drill down and separate things out with their minor distinctions?
Yes, if there are actual distinctions that separate them out. That's what I'm saying. I don't think there are. Let me give you an example. So gopher tortoises, right? Mm-hmm. So there's commensals that live there that don't just feed on the gopher tortoise. I will give you that one, that moth that feeds exclusively on the keratin from gopher tortoises. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's probably a true commensalist relationship.
Okay.
But the kind of animals that live in gopher tortoise holes that eat parasites in the gopher tortoise hole, that's symbiosis, man. There's no way around it. The gopher has provided a place for these animals to live. The animals are eating the parasites that would otherwise be sucking the life force out of the gopher tortoise. That's symbiosis. There's no other definition for it. And that's given as an example of commensalism.
But I didn't see that they did eat parasites that would harm the gopher.
Yeah, some of them do. It says that they likely lower parasite loads for tortoises.
Right, I see that now. I even highlighted it.
Yeah. That's mutualism.
Well, should we talk about the last category, or should we just throw this in the trash?
No, let's talk about the last one, because this is fun to kick it around.
All right. Come here, you. Mm-hmm. Foresy, P-H-O-R-E-S-Y. That's when an animal attaches to another physically to catch a ride, basically.
Okay. This one is commensalist. I'll give you that.
All right. Do you want to talk about an example? That you hate?
Metabiosis that just annoys me, because it's the same thing as inquilinism, and a lot of it is symbiosis. But yeah, foresy is like if you're a mite that catches a ride on a bee, you can go from Miteville to Mite Town really quick,
right.
Whereas otherwise you may never go there in your lifetime as a mite, because you can't make it that far. But as far as the bee's concerned, it's not. As long as you're not feeding on it like a parasite, the bee couldn't care less. It's not getting any benefit from it. It's not being harmed from it. But I'll bet the mite's still feeding on it, which makes it parasitism, not commensalism.
All right.
Okay.
I was going to make a judgment on whether or not I'm with you on this, mm-hmm. but then I decided I didn't care.
That was very right-minded of you.
Okay, good.
There is one point that I think is worth making, though, that commensalism can actually put an entire ecosystem under stress, especially if you take the example of that moth that feeds on gopher tortoise keratin, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you take that moth and gopher tortoises suddenly die off, you're not just losing the gopher tortoise, you're also going to lose that moth species, too.
True.
They're going to die off, too, because they're fully dependent on gopher tortoise shells. They're going to have a bonanza at first, and then eventually they're going to run out of food. And that the more commensalism you have in an ecosystem, the shakier ground that ecosystem is built on. You want species, ideally, to keep it as biodiverse as possible, that can basically stand on their own, that aren't so fully interrelated that they can't exist without another species creating a home for them, or providing food for them or something, or giving them rides from Miteville to Mite Town.
But we should be good, since there are very, very few examples of true commensals, right?
That's my take.
All right. I'm glad we're good.
Yeah, I'm glad we're good too, Chuck. Do you think we're out?
I think we're out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.